Ian Basarabia, very good morning to you. How are you?
What? Good morning. How are you?
I actually thought you were Swiss to German there for a
moment. No. I was like, it's just that vibe of that helicopter song.
Yeah. In fact, we've got some more great music to play.
Fantastic.
yes. Karen says, please can you play Captain? Don't leave Kurt out. No. You know what, Karen? I think I have neglected Kurt over the while.
Yeah.
So, we are going to try and make good. Although, you know, people don't always, they don't always react well to some of my music choices.
You know, Howard, we're creatures of habit.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
so I've got to get used to, used to listening to, a helicopter.
But yeah. It's growing, it's definitely growing on me.
But how funny is that?
It's amazing.
That we started playing it last week, it was an assault to our ears.
Mm-hmm.
But today I'm thinking it's a very normal song. Yeah. Like, what's the problem?
I think
the people that hear it for the first time, their immediate reaction is capital WTF.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but they'll get used to it.
Yeah, are you going to play it enough?
Definitely.
Without a doubt,
definitely.
No matter what anyone says. Because you're not sensitive.
Because of what everyone
says.
Ian, that's a very, very, it's very, very different. Karen says, hello, Ian, good to hear you. We just need to appreciate good music. That is absolutely, you know, the funny thing is, that, not the funny thing is, the amazing, beautiful thing is that part of being a South African, and one of the joys for me in being a South African, is this vast range of music.
Yes.
It is absolutely incredible that we've got from Afrikaans to traditional music to, like, there's so many influences of that we can enjoy, and I absolutely love that on this show and on many shows on Chai we can play absolutely everything and enjoy it.
And Howard, you know, it's not just on the show. I went to a bat mitzvah 2 weeks ago, and I thought to myself, okay, here we go, another bat mitzvah, another round of bang bang music and this all this like kind of stuff I don't enjoy. And I tell you, your point which you just made now is so true. We had kids dancing on the dance floor to Damas, Sweet Caroline, John Denver.
Howard's
playlist.
Howard's playlist. So listen, I don't know what you're doing on the side with all these balmy and butty DJs, but you're...
That's unbelievable. Have they been singing to this one yet?
That takes me back 35 years, Howard.
Really?
Standard 4 tour.
Yes, I thought Richard... Cliff Richards is only like 30 himself.
Yeah, he is. So maybe.
All right, fine.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Well, that's for a totally different show.
Yeah.
But 35 years ago, a Standard 4 tour, somewhere in the hottest part of the Kruger National Park, there we are on a school bus heading into places we'd never been to. Burke's like potholes, you know, Pilgrim's Rest, those kind of areas. And the late Mr. Alan Karp was standing at the front of the bus with one of those like megaphones. You remember the megaphones where you?
Yes.
Teaching us how to sing Bachelor Boy. And that for me is why music is incredible, because some music crosses generations.
Absolutely.
Without people feeling. And my kids are amazed. My kids listen to all this music. And when I start singing, they go like, how do you know that, Dad?
That's so funny. How do you know that?
How do you know that? And it's like so wrong that you know the words before I do.
Very interesting.
So yeah, lots of fun.
Moshe says, I'd like to know if they play Mazel and Broch at bar mitzvahs these days.
No, they don't.
And then the playlist is complete. I don't, I actually don't know what that is.
No, me neither.
I don't think, not
to disappoint Moshe, but I don't think they do. But we're going to have to get an expert into.
Yeah, because I don't really know Karen says best show ever. And, alright. So, but Ian.
Yes.
I've just heard a very interesting story. Is it true that from February, you will have your own show on a Wednesday, 12 to 1 PM?
Jeez, you know more than I do. Yes, it's true, Howard. I do. I'm very excited.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah. Is that? I think this is the best news. Oh, look. Everyone is excited.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, but that's awesome.
Yes.
What are you going to be covering?
So the show is going to be called The Lunch Bite. So we're going to be doer, yeah.
Love it. And what's nice, 12 o'clock, for those of us that are intermittent fasting, we start eating at 12.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
So
exactly.
Lunch party is perfect for
so
us.
So you can
at
break
12.
Your fast for an hour, yes.
On Wednesday.
So 12 to 1 is going to be a solid hour of just catching up on trending news, a bit of sport, and what we'll also do is we're going to get some ideas for dinner. Because, you know, this is the time when wives usually phone husbands or husbands phone
wives. What do you want for dinner?
So I'm going to help out with that.
Mm.
And it's really just going to be a show that connects with our audience wherever they are, if they're schlepping kids, if they're off to the gym or they're just running an errand or grabbing a lunch. A bit of lunch. So we'll be filling your hour from 12 to 1 on a Wednesday, starting next week. So
that
thank
is
you.
So awesome.
Yeah, very excited for that.
That is really, really amazing. All right, Ian, what are we talking about today?
Okay, so today what we're talking about, and I guess maybe this is a nice segue mm-hmm. from what we're just speaking about, is staying resilient through tough economic times. Now, I've been following all the doom and gloom of what's been transpiring around the world, especially of how the world is looking at South Africa, and how I don't know if you saw, there was something that went viral on Twitter. Bruce Whitfield was at Davos, and he interviewed the famous Richard Quest, who people will know from CNN.
Of course.
And Richard Quest just kind of like piled into
it didn't look good for us.
No, it looked really bad for us, and a lot of people. There were different views on Twitter. A lot of people said, yeah, it's easy for him to say because he's a journalist and that's how he gets attention. But if you listen, he made a lot of sense. And it's quite interesting is that, in years gone by, South Africa's had a very strong presence at Davos. This year it was a real tapered down, delegation, Cyril wasn't
which I think
there.
Is appropriate, by the
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely.
I think it was appropriate that South Africa didn't send absolutely everybody to pretend we have something to sell when they should be back here making amends.
I didn't disagree with Cyril being back here, but what it did show is it did show that the rest of the world is not ignorant. They're not kind of like trying to buy into the famous scarves. You know, everyone talks about brand South Africa going out.
Yes, with their scarves and putting scarves around everybody's neck.
So I think with that context in mind, we're finding it tough. Everybody's finding it tough in terms of battling to swim upstream in an economy that's not really helping. You know, everybody looks towards opportunities of how to grow themselves, grow their businesses, and you get buoyed up by a good economy or favorable environment. South Africa, no matter how you try and spin it, we're going through difficult times.
Sure.
But what that...
And we shouldn't try and spin that, actually. No, we are going through difficult times.
I agree, 100%. And I think what we find is many people that I'm speaking to are filled with a flood of strong emotions and a sense of uncertainty, which is acceptable. But surprisingly, what we don't know about ourselves is we generally are better adapting over time to life-changing situations and stressful conditions. So if you ask a group of people today, you just say, are you doing today what you thought you would be doing when you started out? The majority of people, of course you're going to get some people that will say, yes, I am. But for the majority, many people will say, no, they've pivoted, they've changed, they've gone into different aspects. But the incredible thing is that if you ask people how they did it, they can't tell you. Because it kind of came naturally, or you can't really think about it. So people say, I just did it because I had to. And most can't actually go into the details of how they did it. So what I want to try and do today is just try and help people to be conscious of what they should be doing to be able to make cognizant changes.
All right. Very, very interesting and very, very important indeed. So South Africans swimming upstream in a very, very difficult economy, how do we make adjustments?
So I think that the most important thing is that change is happening faster than it used to. And we don't have time to think about these things. So what we need to do is we shouldn't think about reinvention as a last resort. It's something that we should be planning. We should be planning our next move. And we shouldn't be scared of change. And that for me is one of the biggest things.
I think quite the contrary. Change is so exciting.
Well, that's the thing. And we need to look at it. And we need to look at this downturn or this negativity or this total flux that our country is in as an opportunity. Because if things are going well, if things are going awesome and you try to change something, you get a lot of pushback. Whereas in an environment where people are looking for solutions, they're looking for help, they're more partial to listening to you. So first and foremost, accept that change is a part of life. And I think one of the most crucial things added to that is you need to network. You need to make connections. There's this whole concern about that people are so caught up in their cell phones and their technology that they don't actually have human interactions. How are you going to impress people if you don't meet with them, if you don't engage with them? And if you're involved in anything, it could be anything from like civic groups, like community groups, in your community organizations. I know there's lots of communities where people are looking, be it the Jewish community, being the Christian community, being any community, they're looking for people to provide support and input. So start, you don't have to start with a formal business network. Just start with your networks that are close by.
And what are you suggesting in terms of how to go about that? And I think you're absolutely right, is because we can draw on our networks. And even if we think we don't have networks, we do.
Yes.
That, again, I mean, I know, you know, I gave a talk last night about South African positivity, and people can very easily list some of the negative things about the country, and there are many. But our networks are unbelievable. Our care for each other is unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And, you know, my son had an incident on Sunday where he was basically robbed at an ATM. It was a very, very traumatic for him. He wasn't physically hurt at all, but it was a whole scam and he felt terrible around it. But at the same time, he actually, you know, and that was a terrible part of the day. But the flip side of the day was that he was in terrible pain because his wisdom teeth are coming through. And that started, let's say, on Saturday night. Sunday morning, I sent somebody a message. By Sunday lunchtime, we already had him arranged to see one of the specialists on Monday at lunchtime in order to deal with it. And if you look at that versus that, those both happened to the same kid in the same country.
Yes.
One of them is really negative and one is so unbelievably positive. And that is the thing that we don't realize we have, are these networks in South Africa. Use those networks.
And that's the most important thing, is we need to take off this mask that we can't ask for help. We have to accept that when I talk about being resilient doesn't mean that you have to go it on your own. It's to the contrary. Being resilient means you have to reach out to other people. You have to utilize those underutilized skills that we all possess. And it's so interesting
because I'm, you know, and I'm looking at this whole thing, and I'm somebody that finds it difficult to ask for help. I would rather be the person
you're
helping.
You're not the only one, Howard. I think most people prefer to help other
because
people.
You're vulnerable.
Absolutely.
When you're asking for help. It's much easier to be in the position that you're helping somebody, because then you really feel good about yourself. But when you're actually asking for help, it's not easy. And I even think on Sunday when I was messaging somebody to try and get an appointment there, I started the conversation with "Hi, I need your help,"
yes,
or "Hi, I need a favor from you."
Yeah.
And it was hard. It's hard to sometimes write that,
yes,
or say it.
Yes.
But you need to be able to do it. Mm. And it's good to start with that, because then you're saying to that person, "I need your help."
Very, very important point. And I know we're late for news. So last point on this, we'll talk about this more after when we come back. But the most important thing is be upfront with what you need from someone. You know, we dither around and we 100%. Beat around the bush. We need to be upfront and be open and then have the discussion.
In your headlines, 8 people killed due to fire in Alabama Marina. The fire engulfed 35 vessels on the Tennessee River. Coronavirus death toll rises to 106. China's capital, Beijing, has recorded its first death from the virus. Eskom brings back former manager from Philippines. This is to manage the Kusile construction project. And man gifts a Millie lady with new trolley. It is better suited for the roads and brighter to make her more visible. Catch the full bulletin at the top of the hour.
101.9 High FM, One Nation, one station.
Time is 8:32, about to go 8:33. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm chatting in studio with Ian Bessarabi, and we are speaking about ways to handle the difficult economy in South Africa. Before I continue with that, is it Millie or Millie?
Millie.
So why'd
you say Millie?
Millie.
So
Cape Townian. I'm waiting for like Millipede, you know, like Millipede.
I thought I was back in Greenpoint.
So did they say Millies? Millies.
Oh, everything is Millie. It's
Millie.
Do that. Hold on. It's milk. Milk. What did they say in Cape Town? It's very, very different.
Is it pizza?
Pizza. Millies, pizza. Yeah, that sort of thing. All right. But so it's not Millies, hey?
Mealy.
Yeah, thank you. Let's embrace our South Africanism. And Cape Town doesn't really count, because that's, you know, as I said last night, maybe the upper deck of the Titanic. But all right, so...
We don't like that.
We definitely do not.
Good thing we don't broadcast Cape Town. No.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've got many listeners in Cape Town. They're online.
Though. Well, we had many.
Hello, Cape Town. Yeah. All right, Ian, you were saying.
So Howard, your point about keeping perspective and using your son's incident, we need to avoid this whole concept. I call it the Chicken Little attitude. And there was a movie or program called Chicken Little, and kept saying that the sky is falling. You know what I mean? The sky is not falling. And you have to take your head out of that mindset and remember the good things that you have in your life. It's about gratitude. It's about focusing. And how you do that is you get up in the morning with an attitude and you say, instead of looking at the doom and gloom, don't focus on it. Don't switch on the news. Watch something else. Listen to Howard Feldman. I don't know. Just do something different. You know,
you'll forget the other irritations.
You'll worry about his music taste. You know,
but
rather than get caught up in the anger and the frustration that everybody else is doing, which you have absolutely no influence of, you need to look at perspective. And if you can visualize what you want, rather than worrying about what you fear, it'll help you work out and craft something that will reduce not only your stresses, but the people around you. Have you ever noticed, Howard, that if you're in a room and you calm the room down?
Oh, most definitely.
And that is the most powerful thing people don't realize they possess. If you have a calming nature and you can walk in and you can calm down a situation by just your presence or by just your attitude, you've already changed a whole bunch of people. So for me, it's about perspective. Don't just look at the doom and gloom. Look beyond the doom and gloom and look at what you've got. And once you do that, you find the opportunity. So for me, it's really this whole concept of being mindful, you know, and I think a lot of us spend so much time focusing on the things that are wrong, the things we don't have in life, yet we just kind of fob off everything we have got. And I guess how much worse things could be. We kind of very, very sensitive and very like, we try to compare to other people, other things. And those comparisons are not real. They're just one dimensional, you know?
So I think what you're really saying is look at your own life and look in terms of your own need.
Yes.
Don't define your need, as measured again, somebody else. And it's quite interesting because I was chatting to somebody the other day and she was quite disgruntled with her husband because he never comes to kids' sports games. He's always working. And you know, she points out somebody else who does come to all of the sports games and the kids' sports matches, for example. And I said to her, you know, you've taken one aspect. It's great that guy comes, but do you know that, you know, he travels 2 out of 4 weeks. Do you know this? And I'd listed some other things. I mean, unfortunately, by the end of it, she hated this other woman's husband, but that really wasn't the issue. What I was trying to show her is you can't take pockets of other people's lives and say, well, I want that and then I want that. And because everybody's a package and every life is a package. And with everybody's, maybe with financial security, maybe there's this, a negative, everything balances. And if we don't actually look at our own life in terms of our own balance, we actually can drive ourselves to a terrible state.
What do they say? Comparing, your chapter 2 to someone's chapter 10.
Alrighty. Ian, Yes. Let's wrap up the conversation that we've been having.
So I think first and foremost, never give up on your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And careful what you wish for because it may come true.
All right. He says having, moving to a, Wednesday 12 to 1 show here on High FM.
Speaking from experience. Mm-hmm. And that's honest. If you put it out there and you commit to what you're passionate at, it will happen. And the top things, and I've just posted them on Facebook. So if you want to have a look at them, if I go through them too quickly, you can go read them on Facebook. Keep up your skills and competencies. Just have a mindset for growing and upskilling yourself. In that. Don't fear to learn. You know what I mean? We're never too old to learn. Think positively. We've been through that so many times, but I think it requires reinforcement. Challenge yourself and learn something new every day. You don't have to go and take a physical course or sign up for a degree. Just commit yourself to learning something new. Build your networks and stay connected. It's the most important aspect, and it's going to keep you relevant. It's going to keep you up to speed with what's going on. And it's also social. It's something very nice to do. Break up the monotony. Get out of your routines. Get out of your hole. Look for the opportunities that aren't going to come to you. Think outside of the box. I did that personally, and it worked for me. And I think the most important thing is reward yourself when you succeed at something, albeit small. See that as an accomplishment. Don't wait until the big finale, because we don't know what the big finale is. I don't think anybody ever reaches that. And I think the most important thing for me is if you are struggling to deal with this, and don't do it on your own. As we said earlier in the show,
get help.
Absolutely. And I'd like to remind everyone, we do have a helpline. We've got incredible volunteers who are so skilled in...
I think that's an interesting point, because what we were talking about earlier is reaching out to friends and saying, look, I need a favor, I need your help, or I need something from you. But sometimes we don't want to do that.
Absolutely.
Sometimes maybe something is a bit bigger than we think a friend can handle. We're even more uncomfortable. Maybe it's something that you do want to speak to somebody more anonymously about, or somebody that isn't connected to your life, that you can be more open.
Well, you want somebody objective. You want somebody that's going to be neutral. So you're right, Howard. It's confidential. It's anonymous. You don't even have to tell the volunteers who you are. But the most important thing, it may just be to get a referral somewhere. You know, I know for many people that I speak to, they wake up and they are so...
You're speaking about the helpline.
I'm speaking about the Chai FM helpline. So sorry, Chai FM helpline, 0800-242436. So please write that down, 0800-242436. Anonymous and confidential, but the most important thing is sometimes people wake up overwhelmed because they don't know where to start. They don't know where to look. The helpline could be a place where you can share your current situation, where you're going, and at best... they will give you somebody to contact or somebody to talk to. It gives you a place where you will get some direction, but also it's a place for you to speak and speak in a safe
place.
And
so often, just talking something out and just processing it verbally with somebody is all you actually need.
Absolutely. And the most important thing, Howard, is it starts with you. You have to make that call. You have to make that decision.
Absolutely right. This is, unfortunately, where we love and leave you. Ian.
Yes.
Let's wrap up the conversation that we've been having.
So I think first and foremost, never give up on your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And careful what you wish for because it may come true.
All right. He says having, moving to a, Wednesday 12 to 1 show here on High FM.
Speaking from experience. Mm-hmm. And that's honest. If you put it out there, and you commit to what you're passionate at, it will happen. And the top things, and I've just posted them on Facebook, so if you want to have a look at them, if I go through them too quickly, you can go read them on Facebook. Keep up your skills and competencies. Just have a mindset for growing and upskilling yourself. That don't fear to learn. You know what I mean? We're never too old to learn. Think positively. We've been through that so many times, but I think it requires reinforcement. Challenge yourself and learn something new every day. You don't have to go and take a physical course or sign up for a degree. Just commit yourself to learning something new. Build your networks and stay connected. It's the most important aspect, and it's going to keep you relevant. It's going to keep you up to speed with what's going on. And it's also social. It's something very nice to do. Break up the monotony. Get out of your routines. Get out of your hole. Look for the opportunities that aren't going to come to you. Think outside of the box. I did that personally, and it worked for me. And I think the most important thing is reward yourself when you succeed at something, albeit small. See that as an accomplishment. Don't wait until the big finale, because we don't know what the big finale is. I don't think anybody ever reaches that. And I think the most important thing for me is, if you are struggling to deal with this, and don't do it on your own, as we said earlier in the show,
get help.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'd like to remind everyone, we do have a helpline. We've got incredible volunteers who are so skilled in...
I think it's an interesting point, because what we were talking about earlier is reaching out to friends and saying, look, I need a favor, I need your help, or I need something from you. But sometimes we don't want to do that.
Absolutely.
Sometimes maybe something is a bit bigger than we think a friend can handle. We're even more uncomfortable. Maybe it's something that you do want to speak to somebody more anonymously about, or somebody that isn't connected to your life, that you can be more open.
Well, you want somebody objective. You want somebody that's going to be neutral. So you're right. It's confidential. It's anonymous. You don't even have to tell the people the volunteers who you are. But the most important thing, it may just be to get a referral somewhere. You know, I know for many people that I speak to, they wake up and they are so...
You're speaking about the helpline.
I'm speaking about the Chai FM helpline. So sorry, Chai FM helpline, 0800-242436. So please write that down, 0800-242436. Anonymous and confidential, but the most important thing is, sometimes people wake up overwhelmed because they don't know where to start. They don't know where to look. The helpline could be a place where you can share your current situation, where you're going, and at best, they will give you somebody to contact or somebody to talk to. It gives you a place where you will get some direction, but also it's a place for you to speak, and it's speak in a safe place.
And so often, just talking something out and just processing it verbally with somebody is all you actually need.
Absolutely. And the most important thing, Howard, is it starts with you. You have to make that call. You have to make that decision.
Absolutely right. This is, unfortunately, where we love and leave you.